Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up.
Yep, the show brought to you today, as always, by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Chinese Acupuncture and Advanced Chinese Medicine with Dr. Jack Schaefer, happytrees.co, and also Denver Synogenics with Dr. Julie McCallan. Coming up at 3:30, we've talked a little bit about this before, this no labels party, right? They're going to try to present themselves as being middle of the road, nonpartisan, blah, blah, blah. But really, all they are is a bunch of rich people who don't like the Republican Party. They don't like the Democrat Party. They want one that they can control more. So they're created the No Labels Party.
Which is the greatest thing that's ever been.
It's going to be good for Trump, I think. That's what,
yeah. It's going to be good for Colorado. It's good. The Republican should find every penny they can and send it over to the No Labels Party.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, they do. Just like a Libertarian Party is fully funded by the Democrats.
Right.
Nobody ever gets that, of course. And I've been going to the debates, and now I'm getting sicker and sicker.
But Chuck has gone into a dark place.
Dark place.
About a half an hour ago. Yeah. But anyway, before we're going to talk, though, to Carl Honegger, political analyst, about that, as well as a recall effort that's going on in Broomfield against the gun-grabbing city council members. But wanted to start off with, and Chuck was good, but then he just went dark. So I'll let you go dark, and then I'll try to save us from the brink.
Okay.
It's tomorrow up in Loveland, and Chuck is going up there tonight. I'm going tomorrow. We're voting for a new Republican Party state chair. We've had all of the candidates on our show: Eric Odlin, Casper Stockham, Dave Williams, Tina Peters, Aaron Wood, Kevin Lundberg.
There's a new one though, Mr. McLaren, who is a rhino.
Kind of an estate, yes. And it basically breaks down. I mean, Eric says he's being unfairly called establishment. I guess I'm going to unfairly call him the establishment candidate, if that's the way he wants to look at it. I think the other candidates are grassroots. So I think it is a real interesting vote. It's not like, you know, you've got two people both who'll be the same, right? You've got a real difference here, and it's going to be very interesting to see which way Colorado goes. This is my prediction. Okay. I'll go ahead, because you need to get 51%, right? And there's
50 plus one.
Yes. And yes. And my prediction is that no one will get that on the first round. But I think that Eric Odlin is going to be one of the top vote getters.
He'll be the top.
And then I think everybody else is going to have to decide what they do. Do they throw their support behind somebody else? What are they going to do? And I predict in the end, one of the grassroots candidates will win. But that's my prediction. Now, keep in mind, I'm always wrong, but that's what I think. What do you think?
Well, the reason why I'm so depressed.
I tried, guys. I tried to save you. I'm sorry. He was happy until about a half hour ago.
I spent 2 years ago, I spent an entire summer traveling the state to liberate the Republican Party from the Democrats. The Democrats now just vote in the go independent for one day and vote in the Republican Party.
They financially meddle in the Republican Party
for the weakest candidate. And
sometimes they have a fake in other states. They've done this. Well, they have a fake Republican. Right?
Well, that's what Barb Kirkmeyer is. Mm-hmm. So go all over the state, and then we get down to the assembly. And everybody says, oh, yeah, we're for closing the primary by a lawsuit. But we don't want to opt out. So we lost that vote 60-40. And we had Anschutz and we had Colorado, you know, editorials by all the left-wing Republicans.
Consultant class.
More the donors. The donors don't.
Well, it's different, though, to people. So what you could do is, so Colorado passed this law. It was a ballot initiative. Thank you, Kent Theory. That would basically, that said that you had to open the primary. You could be
liberate. You could open the primary so that independents could vote into it. And of course, anybody can go into the independents with a day. And
so, if you're an independent, you would get two ballots, right? And you could vote in one or the other. Republicans stupidly went along with this, but they have a choice. You can file a lawsuit and say you can get out of it. Or if you have essentially a significant majority of the actual Republican Party, the some 500 members who are part
well,
of the
what happened is they did. Well, that's not quite right.
So, okay.
They did this out in California, and the court, Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court said, no, you can't force a private association like the Republican Party to have members who are not in it.
You can't force us to have an open primary, basically.
Yeah, or it's semi-open primary. So what they did is in Colorado, they just made it virtually impossible. You had to have 75% every 2 years.
The Republican Party, the voting members say we opt out of
this. Even if they didn't vote, a vote is automatically a no. So it's really close to 90-95%.
Which is pretty much impossible. Because
pretty
even,
much impossible.
Because even if people were sick or something like that, they would be courted as a no vote.
Yes.
So that's what opting out is.
So that's what opting out is. So I raised the money with the help of many others for the lawsuit. And John Eastman and Randy Corporon donated their time. I read through the briefs. There are two things that killed that one other than that. A Jimmy Carter appointed federal judge, John Kane, who at least he was polite during the proceedings, unlike some judges. But if we said white, he said black. If we said today, he said tomorrow. He did not, of the 150 points that were brought up, it was 150-0. But the two things that really killed it, one was the fact that Christy Burton Brown wouldn't sign on to an amicus brief. And the second one was that the Republicans themselves, when they had the choice where they'd opt out, they voted 60-40 against. And that's just the people who were actually there, not the ones who...
That wasn't the total.
Who weren't there. Courts are not going to intervene and make a choice for you when you won't do it yourself. So this time, at the beginning, I was hearing all these people, yes, I'm for the liberating the primaries and opting out. Because in order to have any hope in court, you have to have a vote where the Republicans vote overwhelmingly, but not enough under the crooked statute. And now all the candidates, except for Tina, have said, no, I'm not for the opt-out. Because what they've been sold by the crooked left-wing consultants...
It's actually quite fair. Some of them have not said, it's not that I'm not for the opt-out, it's I will take a neutral position.
Which is what Christy Burton Brown was, and that will destroy us. Because you have to build up enough people, enough momentum. So when you come into the next year's open meeting, you win it overwhelmingly, but you don't quite get out.
But you turn around and say to the court, okay, look, the 99% is unreasonable in the first place, but we had 85%.
Right.
So you could say
we had the best time to have all these people say that. You know, yes, we're for the opt-out. We don't like its terms. What the false cotard that they set up was saying, well, the statute then says you have to go by caucus and assembly. And of course, that's a lot more conservative than if you had an all Republican one. But the people in Virginia quickly figured a way around that. They said, you're all assembly members and we'll all vote on a day and everybody can vote because we'll make everybody part of the assembly. And now we've got all the people who worked so hard on the lawsuit now saying, oh, I don't know, I'm not for the opt-out, not realizing they've condemned the lawsuit. They will now be forever a Democratic Party. It'll be more and more Democratic because the Republicans are too dumb to ever figure anything out, anything.
Okay, now, I think that...
I'm not excited. I'm totally calm. Insanity of these morons.
I think, though, Chuck, you are unfairly characterizing what some of them have said. What some of them have said, including Dave Williams, is that he noted that he voted for the opt-out when he had the last time around when it came. And he has simply said, and I think some of the others have said this too, that they don't, and my guess is Aaron
voted for the opt-out. Other ones have said they're against it. Dave was way too subtle in trying to get both.
As long as I'm running for chair
while he's a chair, and he turned it over to the vice chair, and then when he turned it over to the vice chair, what he didn't say was he'd vote.
But
you can't win. You have to convince 80% of the people, and you got to start now.
You need to be starting that convincing now.
It had to be to now. Now there's no hope you'll get 80%. with all the candidates except Tina saying I'd go for the opt-out. If you're going to win the court case, you have to show you tried with the opt-out. Why can't somebody grow brain?
Well, they can, but you miss to me, and they can try with the opt-out after whoever is elected chair becomes chair. I mean, that's
no,
that's
you have no idea how because all the lefties, all the philanthropes will continue to say, no, right. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. So you'll get to the assembly and maybe make 5%, right?
Man, that's not going
to do it.
Right.
You had to do it now.
Well, bottom line,
destroyed your party. You've destroyed your party. And you destroyed the lawsuit that you say you're for.
Okay. So, Chuck, calm down here. Yeah, exactly. Because I don't want to spend all our time talking on that. That's way in the weeds.
And not way in the weeds. It's how you win elections. It's why the Republican Party has lost every election for the last 5 years.
Chuck, no one is disagreeing with you on that.
They all disagree. They don't get it. None of them.
They all – I just think that you're unfairly saying that they're all against opting out when they're not.
They're not all against opting out. They have to build – they're talking to the same people tomorrow that will vote for a year from now for the opt-out.
I understand
that. And if they're all saying, don't like the opt-out very much, you'll never get 80% of those people to say it.
Okay. Can we talk about what you think is going to happen?
I don't care anymore.
Oh, God. You guys, I tried. I tried hard to make Chuck not go. So I tell you what, we're going to talk about something else then, Chuck. I was going to talk about that, but clearly Chuck is not into it anymore. One of the things, though, you have been, will this make you happy if we talk about Tucker Carlson?
Yeah.
Okay. So the obviously you guys all know that he's the surveillance tapes that he's been showing. And the Democrats, I think, have cooked their own goose. They were so, we talked a little bit about this Wednesday. They were so upset about everything that they, I think, did themselves a disfavor by giving even more publicity to Tucker Carlson. Now, we had six times the number of people watched Tucker Carlson the past couple of nights than watched any of the other news programs. So it was right when you said millions and millions of Americans are tuning in.
I think over 4 million views, MSNBC 1.2 million, and CNN 200,000. So you got 4 million compared to the combined vote of 1.5 million.
Right. And all of whom talked about how wrong Tucker Carlson was, right? So they all did it. So I think that is good. And I think
they've gone wild. Every news site that's Democrat, which is all of them virtually, have all been saying, he failed, it's awful.
Yeah, they challenge any of the things he says. And I was reading a thing, and I think this could
be... And then they had all the rhino Republicans, like Mitch McConnell, get up there and say, I associate myself.
And those guys are all shut up now. They're not commenting anymore because they've seen how overwhelmingly people are. But I think what's interesting is Tucker, I don't think we've seen the last of it, because I was initially like, you know, did Fox get to him? You know, did all the attacks, and did they make him pull his punches? And I don't think so. I think that it's one of those situations where there is so much there and there's so many things he could be doing stories about that he's putting it out in little pieces. And I think what he did is, and the timing was good, right? So everybody knows the Hunter Biden laptop story now was true and the media hit it. Now all of a sudden COVID origins, right? And then boom, one of the other big giant misinformation campaigns of the left ran was that January 6th was the most violent insurrection in the history of the known universe, right? And that 5 police officers died, blah, 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 blah. So I think people had been getting used to realizing that all of the conspiracy theories were true, right?
From COVID to Russiagate, go through it.
And so it's not like people are like, no, the government was not telling us the truth. But I think, so he talked about, one, that there were people who entered peacefully, right? Number two, that Officer Sicknick was wandering around, did not die of being hit on the head, killed by Trump supporters, right? He was fine afterwards.
And 5 others, often months later, committed suicide or did something else.
Right, exactly. He showed that didn't happen. He showed that the shaman guy got 4 years in prison, and then he became the face of the violent insurrection, right? Well, they showed him clearly wandering around with police officers all over, right? So those are kind of basic, very easy to grasp concepts, right? And you can see it. You can see that, right? I think what's going to happen is there's because people are like, how come he didn't show about the police violence and this and this? I think that's going to continue to come out. I think we need to continue to pay attention to this And we will, because again, if you flood everything all at once, it becomes overwhelming and people don't get it, right? But now you've prepped people, you've shown them, here are the lies. We prove it to you. These are lies, right? And the Democrats freak out or melt out. I think that as time goes forward, because I also know how TV works, you don't spend that much time and human effort and energy going through all those tapes just to do like two nights, right? They're going to milk this and there's going to be a special and I know all of that. And even more importantly, Kevin McCarthy says he's going to release the tapes. My guess, the way that'll happen is they'll be put on a website somewhere, right?
Sure.
And that anyone will be able to access it. And then we'll have everybody jumping into the whole thing too. So, well, we get a bunch of comments here. Let's see. Oh, Jacob, a couple other things. Yeah, the Dems had a bad, bad day at Sun Valley Bank. Remember, the government has hit the debt ceiling. Therefore, there is no money for the FDIC unless the money is reapportioned from another fund. Yeah, that bank, they've stepped in and they basically closed the bank after a run. From Jacob, January 6th, investigative head Representative Bernie Thompson said he did not see into the January 6th videos, really, as the committee was in session on TV, the background were the tapes running for everyone to see. And even more important than that, guys, Tucker Carlson said when they go through the tapes, they're bookmarked so they can see who else has seen them. And he said they're flat out lying when they say they didn't see him. He said, we can show you. We can prove that they did see them. From Leo, at least the turtle fell down the stairs versus Biden falling up the stairs. And I agree, you know, let's see. From Jim Jackson, scare the 4 million out of the 160 million voters that saw it, not enough to, I'm not sure what you mean there, Jacob.
He says there are 100 million voters, there's more than that, actually.
Okay.
I think the last election, 150 voted. But it's all perception. For those 4 million will influence an incredible amount of other people. You're never going to get 100 million people watching a show, but that 4 million will make all the difference in the world. And it is when they talk about changing the narrative.
Yes.
So before the narrative, the world's most violent insurrection and all the people who just wandered on the grounds should be locked up without bail. Right. Now everybody's going, what a bunch of garbage.
And I think if you're defense attorneys, at a certain point, even the Democrat judges have to be. I mean, there was an FBI agent that was lying on the stand the other day, and that came out, and the judge actually said, hey, wait a minute, we got to deal with this, right? Some FBI agent was, they were trying to pretend like there weren't conversations, but so according, this is Julie Kelly has covered this. So in one of the defendant's trials, the FBI was apparently illegally eavesdropping and gaining access somehow to the defendant and to conversation between the defendant and the attorneys, and then tried to say that didn't happen, but didn't realize because she like deleted like apparently hundreds and hundreds of emails and saying, no, I didn't have any, not realizing that you could just like, this is my, you could restore it. And it was like, somebody said, this is an FBI agent that's around. I mean, you know, it's like, you'd think they would know that kind of thing. So that's good news. Another thing that's interesting, and I'm not as optimistic about this, the House after the Senate, both have voted now to tell the, National Intelligence Director of National Intelligence to declassify some of the intelligence and the information they had on the COVID origins. And they have enough, you know, Biden doesn't want to do it, but they can override a veto. So I don't think he's going to do that.
He doesn't ever have to classify something.
Well,
what's going to, and if he did, because Ratcliffe was the DNI and he told him to declassify lots of things and they just ignored him.
They just didn't. I mean, that's.
They just ignored him.
That's
what I was saying. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, well, like, oh, we can't, that's declassified, or that's, you know, there's
that's
all kinds
classified.
Of other stuff, too. The Proud Boys trial. The Proud Boys trial is on pause because of Tucker. Yeah, I mean, if you're, the government has the responsibility to turn over
exculpatory
evidence. And I mean, I don't know what else you would call the pictures of the shaman guy wandering around with all the cops there. And so if there's other videotape that shows other defendants wandering around with the cops there too, so they're going to have to give it to that. So that's reason to be hopeful.
They don't have to. You keep on thinking people have to. You don't think the FBI will lie, cheat, erase.
I think, well, Kevin McCarthy has the tapes though too, obviously. So,
well, what happened to the Ashley Babbitt tapes? No pictures of Ashley Babbitt.
That's what. Yes, exactly. You got to wonder about that. That was the one hallway where there were no, because that's what Tucker Carlson said. They did not find any surveillance video of that
because they were deleted by the Capitol Police.
Yeah.
Corrupt
And that's why I go back to the COVID thing. I am not optimistic because just like you said with Ratcliffe, Trump said declassify it. Ratcliffe said declassify it. And then they just didn't. Which leads into the other thing I want to talk about before we get Carl. And that is, though, this is still more good news. I think the sheer size and complexity of this whole disinformation industry and coupled essentially with the Department of Justice going after Americans for disagreeing with the government narrative has become more and more exposed. It started, I think, a little bit with the Twitter files, right? And then they had Matt Taibbi, some congresswoman is trying to force him to reveal sources in a thing, which you can't do. I mean, the law, there's a shield law, right? It doesn't have to. And again, they only want the source, which I'm assuming is Elon Musk. But either way, they want to be able to attack the source, right? So she got an argument with him about that. It's like, what an idiot congressperson. But I think we've seen that, and we've seen how, starting after 2016, I think the cabals, right, and the billionaires and billionaire funds and government tax dollars all started funding various disinformation services. Right. Now, this is nothing new. The Southern Poverty Law Center, has been around forever, right? The Southern Poverty Law Center characterizes hate groups. And for years, the media will quote the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they'll put out little reports and they'll say, are you going to sneeze?
No.
Oh, and they'll say that there are, in Colorado, they give it, I knew you were going to sneeze. They'll say there are little red dots on this map and they show that there are near neighborhood. There are 45, violent.
Julie Hayden is one of those hate sites.
Click on the little red dot and it just.
Boy Scouts.
Or it's nothing. Right. Or you Google it and then it doesn't exist. They just made it up. Right. But media would quote them anyway. And they would say like hate crimes are on the rise, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. There are more hate crimes in Boulder County than there were before. And it was pure lies and disinformation, but they just took this to a whole other level. This is also clever of them. Not only did they start targeting and surveilling basically everybody's communications and social media feeds to find the disinformation, they also set up another group that would go after advertisers that then started targeting advertisers and not just calling the media group and saying that it was, tweeting about it. They would go to the advertisers and they would put this list out to advertisers
we know that one.
Right, exactly. And then on top of that, it went even further. They were providing, as we saw through the Twitter files, direct access, direct portal to FBI, CIA, deep state agents whose job was to basically comb the internet and find stuff they didn't like. Not that wasn't true, but that they didn't like, and go ahead and tell Twitter to take it down. And when Twitter would not take it down, here's where the media complex comes in. They would call the media. And the media would say, they would say Twitter is refusing and Facebook's refusing to take down dangerous disinformation that's going to hurt and kill grandmothers, right? And they would go, the media people would get on their thing. And finally, the Twitter people and the Facebook people would say, okay, fine, right? But no one knew how extensive that was. And I think we still don't know.
No, I think you're right. We don't know how extensive it was and how many other tentacles and how many other ones that were within the State Department or interagency departments and everything else.
Well, and now I think they're doing something else too. The Associated Press ran a story quoting vague sources again, saying that all of the support that we're seeing for Trump on Twitter is put out by Trump, trying to make him look better than Ron DeSantis. Mm-hmm. And it's all bots, right? Now, frankly, it would be smart if it was all bots, right? Yeah, I mean, that's what Republicans need to do is get on the band there. But I mean, I think that's probably not even true at all. So what they're doing is they've added a new twist to it. Not are they now just saying, hey, that Trump has support, that's disinformation, right? Mm-hmm. They're saying anything that says Trump has support is actually is fake. Right. Fake that Trump has support, right? So that's clever on their part, how they're doing all of that. I think knowledge forewarned is forearmed. I think that's the only thing you could do about that, right? I mean, I don't know how you fight that.
Yeah, I don't either. And it is, Tucker got only to view the tapes in the custody of the powers in an anonymous, undisclosed location. Yeah, that's good,
it's
because
true.
If it wasn't undisclosed, right. The hideous lefties would be, Antifa would be rioting there.
Right. Well, and I think it'll be interesting to see what McCarthy does. That is not, I will say this, that's not uncommon. It's sort of a compromise for the people who don't want it to be released to say, okay, fine, we'll blur. Like you saw in that one shot with the shaman, they blurred the door because there was some kind of security thing about the door, right? But I think, though, you're right. And you always want to know.
That's just an excuse. They can, oh, there are cameras in the Capitol? Really?
Well, and I think.
And they couldn't add more cameras? Huh?
You always want to know what they don't want you to see.
Yeah, that's right. You know. That's why they don't want you to see it.
but I think, though, enough that we are seeing. I mean, that's a start. You got to, because I think, I mean, thank God for Kevin McCarthy, right? And thank God for people like Lauren Boebert who held out to get promises from him. Otherwise, we wouldn't be seeing any of this, right? None of this would be happening.
Right.
And so, you know, thank goodness for them. Let me see, we got comments here. McConnell's support of the Capitol Police must not have been strong enough. He must not have come down hard enough on Tucker Carlson. And then from Jim Jackson, the Capitol Police Chief McConnell agreed with was appointed after January 6th. Yeah, Jim, that's what Chuck was
talking about.
Nancy
Pelosi.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he didn't see, he wasn't the chief then. So McConnell cleverly had that little piece of paper that he could say, oh, this is, this is great.
Well, how can you not believe a guy who wasn't even here?
That's right. Can I talk about Tiger Woods? Chuck is not participating. He's still in his bad
depression.
He's plunged in deep depression. Sorry, just like 15 minutes before the show. This is one thing, and this is kind of apropos of nothing, but I've been reading about Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger Woods, granted, has had his issues, but he's had the greatest comeback in golf history. He's the greatest golfer ever. And now his ex-girlfriend, this is just wrong that the Me Too movement sparks this kind of stuff. And this is what the liberals encourage. Okay. So Tiger Woods had some, I think she was like ran his golf shop or something like, not even that. I mean, she was like a merchandise person, right? She was just a person and they met and fell in love and they dated for several years and she lived with him at his house and really lived the high life forever. Right. Mm-hmm. And apparently Tiger Woods, and you cannot blame him for this, seeing what's happened, as I imagine probably a lot of celebrities do, apparently had her sign a non-disclosure agreement that meant that you couldn't write like a tell-all trash book about it.
And you have to get consideration for that. So
right. And so, which seems smart to me, given what's happened to Tiger Woods and his point, right? And the only reason you would want out of a non-disclosure agreement is if you did want to write a book trashing the person so you could see why he would fight that. Well, she's now filed like a $30 million lawsuit against essentially the company that owns his house, a trust that owns his house, saying that Tiger Woods and the trust told her that she could live there for 11 years and that she, and then she checks this little box that says, oh yeah, there was sexual abuse and sexual harassment. I'm like, he was your boyfriend, right? And so that's why I don't have to abide by any of this stuff. And now she's preparing to trash Tiger Woods. And really all she's trying to do is extort money from him, right? She doesn't want to live in that house.
Do you think Tiger may be getting a little cynical about women?
You know, if I were Tiger, this is Jimmy, maybe he's like, I'm going to go back to women I just met in Las Vegas, you know, and a business. At least the transactional nature of that relationship was apparent. But I mean, to me,
he abused me.
About it is this woman. I mean, she's never said anything before about Tiger Woods and sexual harassment or sexual abuse like that. Nor did she in any of the court documents actually say anything. She just checked a box.
Well, anything is that.
Thanks to this stupid,
just saying, you know, I'm breaking up with you. That's sexual aggression and harassment.
And the thing is this is a new law that was passed after all the Hollywood things and, I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, it's being abused, right? I could see, I mean, this is after the Harvey Weinstein thing. That maybe if Harvey Weinstein made you sign a non-disclosure agreement, you could say, look, the guy raped me and I should be able to talk to the police about that. But this is a woman who lived the high life with Tiger Woods and is using that as a way and a means to go after him, to just simply torture him enough so that he has to pay her money.
Sure.
You know, and it's like, and then, yeah, this is from Charlene, American woman, stay away from me. Oh, and then Charlene is like, oh no, Chuck, cheer up. We're just grains of sand.
And someone said one of 7 billion grains of sand. and it's true, but it's just so discouraging.
That's right.
It's so discouraging that we can't think our way out of a paper bag.
All right, we're not going back there again, Chuck. We got you happy talking about Tiger Woods and his abusive. You know, if you're Tiger Woods, you would hope that he could file some sort of libel lawsuit against her. He should call up Johnny Depp against her for checking the sexual abuse box, right? That's what I would do if I were him.
Okay.
But all she's doing, though, it's just kind of bad, right? And that's what, again, the left did, right? They take something that has, you know, it sounds good, and then gets all twisted around. And the intention was to try to protect women, you know, and instead all it's doing is hurting women. Just like it annoys me too. I'm sorry, I'm on a rant now, but I'm not a depressed like Chuck.
Remember, you're just a grain of sand.
International Day of the Woman.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
There are no actual women. No, there are no biological women that we could find. So he gives it to a transgender
Argentinian, I think.
Yeah, woman from Argentina. Well, transgender person from Argentina.
Because we all know the best women are really men.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. You know, it's like, you know, women, you fought long and hard to get being treated equal. And now they're telling, you know, men who are women are
that are those are real women.
The best women are actually men.
Remember the hot, crazy index?
Yeah.
Where if you had something and they rated high on being hot and high on being sane, he said, dude, that's a tranny.
Yeah.
And so now they're proving it. Everybody's like, yes, if you're a woman.
American women need to wake up. They need to fight back against this woman who, you know, is targeting Tiger Woods just for money and giving a bad name to all of that for the women who actually do have legitimate claims. And the same thing, women need to fight back and say, what the heck, Biden? What, you couldn't find an actual woman, a biological woman? There weren't any good enough to be the International Woman of the Year. You had to give it to a man. That's insane. So I think I saw Carl enter the waiting room. Carl, are you here? You are.
Here it is.
What?
All right.
Yeah, and I should be unmuted, right? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
You're good. Appreciate it. I'm traveling a little bit, but I appreciate you. Good timing. I just talked to Ryan Clancy with No Labels earlier this week. And it matches definitely a lot of what you've seen. Some of the news reports in terms of there's some concern already about 2024 having an independent candidate run for president.
Right.
So this is very much, okay, it's a new party, minor party here in Colorado, but they're thinking nationally, and that's why you're seeing like rapidly, okay, Colorado, new party, and Arizona.
Right.
You know, very recently, No Labels got enough signatures and were approved. So now you've got that party there, and they're trying to, by spring of 2024, if they need somebody to switch parties to their No Labels party, then they can have an independent candidate. And basically, they're looking for anybody in between Trump to Biden. I'm not sure who, but it's possible what you're seeing right now with so many people saying, the Republicans, that is, saying that they're not interested in running. They're really saying they're not interested in running as a Republican, but they might run on this No Labels party.
Right. Well, here's,
does that make sense?
The No Labels party, I mean, the little bit of research I did to them in Colorado, I mean, they're trying to portray themselves as, oh, we're just people who want unity. Centrist. And, yeah, centrist and stuff like that. What they are is they're all big business people in Colorado. All the guys involved with it in Colorado are part of Colorado Concern, which is like the richest businesses and developers in Colorado who are only concerned. I mean, they're like a chamber of commerce on steroids, right? And they're only, and the national chamber of commerce, not local chambers of commerce, I think are good for business. But all they want to do is protect their business interests.
They want to have clout, and they don't have really clout in the Democratic Party, and having clout in the Republican Party is worthless because they don't elect anybody. So they're starting the No Labels one. In fact, Catherine Murdoch was a No Labels supporter before she started to support
Democrat things
and Republican primaries for Democrats. But my analysis is that every Republican dollar possible should pour into the No Labels Party, just like Libertarian Party is solely kept above line by Democrats. That's where all the money comes in. That's why they have candidates like at CD8. CD8 was going to close race. Here comes a Libertarian to take votes away from the Republican. No labels will take votes away from Democrats. Those are people who are very close to being Democrats, or they prefer Democrats over Republicans. It is the greatest opportunity Republicans have had to cut away from Democrats. And just like the Democrats use libertarians to take votes away, because the people themselves are usually pretty disgusting. They are.
Yeah. So I think that there's a little bit of comment beyond what we're seeing at the national level, comments about the president. They are open to, like, at the congressional level, if there's a spot. Okay, in Colorado, I'm thinking about Joe Dea, right? So right. Joe Dea, and his thing was nothing about the infrastructure bill, because I actually was going through my closet the other day and got one of those flyers that the Democrats had sent out saying, look, Joe Dea supported the infrastructure bill. Joe Biden did too, right? Which is totally truthful.
Yeah.
The no labels supported the infrastructure bill because they called it bipartisan or whatever.
Right.
So you're exactly right. This is very much that Chamber of Commerce, big business in terms of, like, they recognize the United States, we have a lot of centralized government. 65% of our tax receipts go to the federal government,
right,
compared to, like, Switzerland, where it's 33%. So we very much have these businesses recognize where the bread is going to get buttered. If you're in construction or something like that, you want this infrastructure money to be spent because
right.
you want a piece of the pie.
Right, right. Well, where do you, so yeah, the thinking has been like just what Chuck said, that if the No Labels Party does field a candidate for president, and I think probably anywhere really, that they will probably take votes from the Democrats and sort of split the Democrat vote.
They will take the people, Republicans who would vote for the Democrats because they hate the grassroots or whatever, and vote for the No Labels Party when otherwise they would either not vote or vote for,
which would then give Republicans a majority.
Yeah.
So that
it's the greatest thing in the world for Republicans. Greatest thing in the world.
So you said you talked to the communications director. What did Ryan Clancy's name is? Was this a national one or the Colorado one? And what did he have to say?
Oh, so I guess that's the thing, because I was thinking, so with the Ford Party, there very much is, like, on the ground Colorado people who are volunteers. So in Colorado, it's about, you, for No Labels, it's very different. In Colorado, you can be listed as, like, a co-chair, but that just means that you've committed to putting, like, $100,000.
Right.
Or you already have put another $100,000 into the No Labels Party, but it's that national level thinking. So they might, in the future, like, help out, like, for example, have Joe Dea run so he doesn't have to have a primary. Because the benefit is that I'm also hearing from this guy, Ryan, who's in D.C. I reached out to the state No Labels, but they're like, hey, talk to Ryan in D.C. And so Ryan was explaining how they're focused on national spring of 2024, but they would be open to, hey, what if it's spring 2024 and you have somebody, they didn't mention Joe Dea, but I just think that Joe Dea connects really well with that kind of mindset of, like, hey, we needed a $1 trillion infrastructure bill, but, you know, a little bit more spending is too much kind of thing, which is always confusing because it's like, well, where do you stand?
I mean, my sense would be, if you're them, that it'd be like all of the other, though, third parties, and that is they're not going to get enough to actually accomplish something, and really all they're going to do is act as a spoiler one way or the other. I mean, what do they see that? I mean, is that part of their strategy, do you think? Or do they think they can do
I didn't ask about those barriers, because my problem with the Libertarian Party is the key is the presidential debates. It's all about the media. The Libertarian Party has worked really well over the last so many decades to always ensure that in every single state in the nation, you can vote the Libertarian candidate. Who cares if Kanye West is on the ballot here in Colorado?
Right.
He's not on the ballot. And so the problem is the media will not report, you know, Kanye West's vote at the national level, right? Everybody around Election Day turns on a TV and they're getting national results, right? Even though it's not set up that way, the results are actually electoral college, right? But that's what the media thinks. So it's hard for the Libertarian Party, like you're saying, third party, to break through that message. How you break through unless you do like Ross Perot, right? Ross Perot was in the presidential debates, right? All the stages of those two. So I think the key is the No Labels Party probably has enough money that they can break through that and have some kind of debate thing, because that's the problem the Libertarian Party has, either national or even local, like Brian Piotr.
Right.
I'm personal friends with him, but he wasn't in the debate that Nine News put on between Bennett and O'Dea, right? The media controls everything so much that I think the No Labels Party has been planning long enough and has enough like insiders that they could kind of like push that. Hey, no, you got to have a No Labels person.
That could be because they have money. Like you said, the way you get to be involved in it is you have to pledge like $100,000+. And like that's like upfront. That's not like, you know, give it to us in 2 years. That's what you do. So, all right. Well, I think it's something to keep an eye on. And I kind of think, Chuck, you're right that, you know, they'd be a spoiler and a spoiler that would be a plus.
They'd be a counterbalance to the Libertarian Party.
Right.
Because the Libertarian Party is just a Democratic by another name. They think Republicans always think that Libertarians are really just Republicans, but they don't admit it. But the funding and everything else are Democrats who want to take 2 or 3 or 4% away
from they don't intend to win.
That's why they ran in CD8 and they did it. Their vote was enough to ensure the Democrat would win, and that was their goal.
Right.
That was their goal.
It could work really good here in Colorado in terms of, if you think about presidential politics, Trump polls very poorly among that swing vote of like women aged 30 to 50 or so.
Right.
But if you have a No Labels Party candidate,
right,
they might actually be willing to like change. They might be willing to go, okay, No Labels only has one candidate on the ballot. Someone runs for president, right? I don't want Trump, but I might like, some other kind of moderate guy. And so those swing voters might vote down the ballot, okay, this moderate, and now I think I'll actually like, you know, vote maybe for a Republican. And that might actually benefit those in Colorado down the ballot in 2024.
I'm sure you will. It's the greatest news. The Republicans have figured some way to screw it up, though.
Chuck's in a bad place with Republicans today, Carl. Hey, so I want to give you time, too, to talk about, last time we had you on, you mentioned, you know, the city council of Broomfield kind of initiating some gun grabbing. They aren't going to wait for the state legislature. So what's going on with that?
So the only thing they're waiting on the state legislature for in Broomfield is, and that's what you're seeing right now, is a waiting period. So Broomfield wanted to pass a waiting period, but then realized, I mentioned, actually, there was someone on city council who got elected to be in our house. And so he's down there pushing that. And then they also, what was it? Like a training requirement. So they have on the books in Broomfield, they're going to discuss a training requirement in June if it doesn't get passed legislature. Anyway, two of the biggest proponents for all these gun restrictions, Heidi Hinkle and then Todd Cohen in Ward 5. So Denver Metro area, the people, if you think about just kind of north of that Cracker Barrel 120th, if you go north a little bit, there's kind of a little bit of portion of Broomfield. Then that goes up to Highway 7. If there's like a children's hospital, Highway 7, that's still Broomfield. So it's that eastern part of Broomfield is Ward 5, the two city council members who has approved today a recall petition, which will be circulating. One lady's up for up for election this year, so that means we only get 24 days to put the petition out there. It's 60 days for Todd, who was elected 2 years ago. Okay. And so, yeah.
So you got, okay, so you polled and successfully got enough to get the recall petition formally going.
The city clerk said the language is good. You can start circulating this now. So we haven't gotten any signatures on that, but I put my name on the request to begin the petition.
Okay.
So
you're launching then the official petition drive now to recall those two
today.
Council members.
How many signatures do you need? Valid signatures.
It's about 1,300.
Oh, Oh, wow.
That's not too bad.
That's not, yeah, we're just on the other side. So we're in Westminster, so you should be able, well, and I think
we'll sign it.
This, yeah, well, yeah, no. You know, Chuck has always said that. I mean, look at the recall. They were able to recall some Colorado legislators, right, over the whole gun issue.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, and you've long argued, when you have a problem with city council, either start the recall, because that's what gets their attention, mm-hmm. Well, you know, because they've got to work against, you know, to fight it there now, too. So good for you for getting it.
And if you don't get them recalled, they tend to lose the next election. So,
yeah, we had one recall in Brimfield. We've only had one, and that was not successful, but that was the mayor. And in that situation, you had someone who was much more charismatic. There was actually over a green... the green commies basically were upset that this mayor didn't want a lawsuit, and he was kind of reasonable on oil and gas. Basically, they wanted him to ban oil and gas in Brimfield. He said, according to state law, we can't, so I'm not going to. So they tried to recall him, and that didn't. But in this situation, it's much more reasonable in terms of, like, these two council members, they were big on, we had like 20 homeless people camped out on public property. And they're like, we won't tell the police to enforce the anti-camping law, right? So they're like, well, let's consider spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to, like, some city property to set up a camp. And they have, like, 24/7 security, like, monitoring them or whatever. And so some people are pissed off. They're like, oh, we'll quietly buy them hotel vouchers. Because hotel vouchers, if you're a drug addict, you can take your drugs into a hotel. Good. You can't take your drugs into a shelter, right?
Oh, no.
So that's the key that I want to talk about. So that pisses us off, because they're like, they're taking city money, and instead of, like, it's just 20 people who don't want to go to a shelter in Denver. I don't have a problem if you want to buy people bus tickets.
Yeah,
a shelter in Denver, right?
Send them to Martha's Vineyard, for Pete's sakes. Yeah, exactly. And Denver, they like them there. And I'm sure they're in Broomfield, like, they come to the suburbs because it's dangerous in Denver, right?
Yeah.
And they put in the hotel. And then, you know, that's the kind of thing. Then you'll check in. I'm sure that this isn't the case, but, you know, you check into your hotel, and all of a sudden you're like, where are all these drug addicts people living here, you know? So, well, that's, yeah. Well, and I think hopefully then all of the stuff going on, I think they're voting tomorrow at the legislature on some of these gun bills. That'll help you, I hope, because there's a lot of publicity about it, and the legislature, I'm sure, is going to pass it, and that's going to make people mad. And I think,
yeah.
I mean, I would say, what do you think?
I think it will, because this will allow us to have a conversation now,
right?
Instead of having the conversation in November, when there's a little bit of that lag, hopefully they forget that they supported this, and that they kept saying, like, oh, they wrote a letter. I mean, these people's names are on a letter to Jared Polis saying, please pass these restrictions.
Right.
And so that's obvious. We need to talk about it now and not just put up with it for another 6 months.
All right. All right. Well, listen, Carl, we will let you go. Thank you for your time. Are you going up to Loveland? Are you headed up there or for the?
No. My wife has foot surgery on Monday, so I'm preparing for that.
Oh, okay. So, say some prayers for you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. All right.
Take care. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
Take care.
Carl Honegger, guys. You know, I think this No Labels Party is something good to keep track of, right? That will give you some hope.
It's a godsend.
Leo, that had those moron lawmakers not with the Bruin decision. What's that? Is that
the Supreme Court decision?
Oh, they don't care. Leo, come on. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court. Everybody knows they're a bunch of conservative crackpots anymore. We don't have to do what they say, you know, anymore, anything like that. Listen, I think that's going to wrap it up for us today. Well, on Monday, obviously, we'll be talking about what happens over the weekend up in Loveland. Hopefully, Chuck will come back off the ledge.
I'll rebound. I'll get back. I'll be back.
It's almost cocktail hour.
I'll get some amphetamines up, man. Just
no.
Party Friday. Yeah, get drunk.
Friday.
Go get drunk.
your golf game? Your golf game is going well.
Rev's golf game's going well. I haven't played much lately.
Much to be happy about. Hey, I want to thank everybody at BBS and our guest, Carl Honegger. Thank all of you guys on Zoom. We appreciate you and all of
your comments. Love the comments. Yep. We appreciate you.
Appreciate everybody who listens and supports our show. Remember, you can go to chuckandjulie.com. If you want, you can sign up for a newsletter. I kind of send out mostly every couple of weeks links to some of our better shows and some of Chuck's picks, we call it, good articles to read. But in the meantime, everybody, happy Party Friday.
Happy Party Friday, and have a good weekend. All bye-bye. Right.